Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be partly cloudy. We'll have a high of the mid to the upper 80s. Racine City Plan Commission members backing creation of the Wild Root Market at 500 Walton Avenue, putting the investor-driven dream one step closer to reality. Assistant Development Director for the city, Matt Sadowski, noting this project did require amending the city's comprehensive land use plan and that the use supplement covers all bases for other uses at the site, things like what could and could not be allowed. As for the store itself and for the parking site on Wisconsin Street, both would be getting improved LED lighting, according to Sadowski.
Basically modernizing the lighting on the property, illuminating the areas necessary for safety. One note in the parking lot lighting, we're still working with the applicant on the exact height. There was a concern by one of the neighbors. They were concerned about the height of the light fixtures. And so we've been talking with the applicant about adjusting that to lower the fixture, but then also the fixture that's being presented will eliminate vast majority of the side casting of the light into the residential areas.
He noted some modifications also made to the site plan for bigger vehicles like delivery trucks. A traffic study was conducted, but Sadowski said the result was no need to make any changes. The full council expected to approve the Wild Root store recommendations from the commission next Tuesday night. The Racine Zoo's attendance in the month of May, it suffered because of the same kind of rainy weather we experienced last night and again early this morning. Beth Heidorn's director of the zoo, she told the Park and Rec Board that cool temperatures last month also contributed to the problem.
You can see by our attendance for May, we were down a little bit, but we also had a really rainy May. So we're very weather driven. And it was chilly, yep, that's right. So that's what hurt us a little bit. But as you can see, education was 51% higher than last year. So we're making greater strides in certain categories. And of course, our events was way up.
The list of special events also continuing to be huge, according to Heidorn, who noted the animals are all out. The facility prepped in recent weeks for what is now beginning the peak season for visitors. A fundraising record established in Milwaukee with the United Performing Arts Fund, $12.2 million, breaking the record of last year. Helping along the way, retired Senator Herb Cole giving it $500,000. State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says there's no need to change security procedures at the Capitol in Madison in response to what happened in the Virginia attack on members of Congress.
The Capitol should be as open as we can possibly have it. That's why I have not supported having, you know, armed guards or metal detectors or any of those kind of things, because I think by and large we have a really good Capitol Police force who has provided security under some of the most tense times.
Voss adding that he would also not favor extra security personnel for state legislative leaders like himself. In Kenosha Circuit Court, 33-year-old Pleasant Prairie resident Brian Palmer, jailed, now formally charged with assaulting a woman in an elevator at the Prairie Ridge Senior Campus Monday. 54-year-old victim there to visit her mother. When this man gets into the elevator, as soon as the doors close, she gets punched, put into a chokehold. She thought she was going to have her neck broken. Man later ran and was captured by Pleasant Prairie police. A candlelight vigil held last night in Kenosha for 23-year-old Brian Baldwin. He was shot to death last week by his girlfriend's ex-husband, Anthony Carroll, who then took his own life. Similar to what occurs in the Racine area with the Racine Interfaith Coalition, the observance last night in Kenosha conducted by the Congregations United to Serve Humanity, attended by the girlfriend and some of Baldwin's friends and relatives, one of them the sister, Cassie Baldwin.
He was a good man, you know, he was trying to protect her, and he lost his life to someone who was unstable. Who it was known that he had depression issues. It was known that he had guns. People have expressed that they knew he had anger problems.
Cassie Baldwin also said that a way has to be found to keep guns out of the hands of people who are unstable. Brian Capitan from Racine, at the age of 57, passed away on June the 4th at St. Luke's Medical Center in Milwaukee. Friends and relatives can meet with the family at the Marsh Meredith and Acklin Funeral Home this Saturday morning starting at 10 o'clock up until noon with a service. When President Trump made his stop in the Milwaukee area this week, he indicated there could be some news coming soon on a major incredible manufacturer of phones and computers and televisions, his words, and that he said he thinks Governor Walker is going to get a, quote, very happy surprise very soon. WRJN's Janet Hoff talks about what that surprise might be and where it might be going.
It's been reported by several media outlets that Foxconn, a company based in Taiwan, is considering spending $4.2 billion on a U.S. factory that would assemble liquid crystal display screens. Could Racine County be in the crosshairs of that proposed development? The Racine County Board met in a rare closed committee of the whole session Tuesday evening that included representatives of the Racine County Economic Development Corporation and Mount Pleasant Village President Dave DeGroote to deliberate, quote, the investment of public funds regarding competitive multi-site economic development opportunities. Supervisors did not reconvene in open session and no mention was made of what was discussed. There have been rumors for weeks that a site in Mount Pleasant was being eyed for a major development. Area legislators and government officials asked for comment, offered either no comment, or did not return calls. While the president made the comment in Wisconsin, Michigan has been actively working to secure the Foxconn development, according to Crain's Detroit Business newspaper. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Just what is a resilient community and how to build one were the subject of a three-part series that began last night at the Wingspread Conference Center in Wind Point, presented by the Johnson Foundation. Guest speaker Dr. Kate Johnson, president of the University of Maine Farmington, and an expert in local government and regional decision-making. She said resilience is returning to normal after a stress, whether it's a single event or something more long-term. The old way of thinking, she said, about building resilience involved regional governance, but decentralized governance is preferable by promoting accountability and involvement.
And it would also promote a kind of competition that was a very productive competition between competing against jurisdictions because, frankly, if my community didn't do a very good job, maybe some of the households would move out of that community and go next door where they were doing a better job. So there was a lot of thinking about structure. And I'll sum up a lot of literature, and I'm not saying structure is unimportant, but I'll sum up a lot of literature by saying the answer was, it all depends, right? It all depends on what you're trying to achieve, what kind of structure would make the most sense.
Several questions have to be answered, she said, to determine how to become resilient, including what is the community, who is in the community, and what appetite is there for working together.
And what's your aptitude for it? You know, how good are you at this? What's your track record? So, you know, think about those and have the honest conversations about what do we need to build? What do we need to do together? What is our appetite for doing something together for Greater Racine?
The series to continue next week with Rob Henkin, the president of the Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. Kenosha Alderman Kevin Matheson believes that because Kennedy Drive along the lakefront is such a beautiful scenic route for local residents as well as visitors to the city, it ought to be open a lot more and as much as possible. He's got a resolution proposing the full city council urge the Parks Board to establish that except for emergencies or authorized special events, Kennedy Drive remain open daily at all times from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for vehicle and pedestrian traffic. Matheson pointing out that that stretch of lakefront roadway got resurfaced last year, which makes it even more pleasurable to take a drive on the lakefront. The Public Safety and Welfare Committee had the issue on their Monday evening agenda and said no unanimously. It's also on tonight's Public Works Committee agenda. And the deadline, 4 o'clock this afternoon, to submit an application for becoming the new caretaker of the Wind Point Lighthouse. But note, you'd be among more than four dozen. Caretakers live rent-free at the lighthouse, but they also take care of the facility and the grounds. They handle tours, event requests, and other related matters. Also, one of the criteria for the job includes the ability to climb all 144 steps to the top of the lighthouse. Current caretakers Susan and Michael Art submitted their letter of retirement to the village board weeks ago. They've held that job for almost 10 years now. The board will be choosing the next lighthouse caretaker this summer. City of Kenosha does not allow open burning with fire pits and fireplaces, but Alderman Daniel Przanski is trying to change what he says is the most restrictive ordinance in the state among the biggest municipalities. His ordinance amendment would allow such burning under certain conditions, though he tells the Kenosha News a number of his constituents already have fire pits and they're taking their chances on a citation. The fire chief, Charles Leipzig, is against the proposal. It's to be on the city council agenda next Monday night. A study of city-owned facilities in Racine should make the public safety building a priority. That according to sentiment expressed by members of the Public Works and Services Committee so as to speed up the decision-making process about future use of the 50-year-old structure, continue with it, or consider maybe a new home for the police and fire departments. DPW Commissioner Mark Yalen noted that they are still in the process of finding a consultant and have not yet established the scope of the work with that study.
Can it be renovated and possibly expanded to meet the needs of the police department? What it would cost to do that. One of the things we're asking them to do is take a look at the City Hall annex to see if that might be a candidate for an adaptive reuse. We don't know. That building may not accommodate police and or fire. And if indeed, you know, how much is that going to cost?
Alderman Sandy Widener noted the last facility study from back in 2005 led to really nothing being done.
We are anticipating by July 5th or 12th or 26th making a recommendation regarding building an event center here. And we won't have the information knowing about what our obligation is to our basic services, which is our police and fire protection. We waited so long to have any kind of recommendation from Public Works on what to do regarding the safety building. We're going to be making a decision on this big event center without knowing what we really need to do as far as the public safety building.
The recommendation to prioritize the safety building in the facility study was unanimously supported. The possibility of a new safety building is why the City Hall Annex parking lot has not been resurfaced. That space considered a potential site. On today's local schedule for government-related meetings, you've got the Mount Pleasant Park and Rec Advisory Board scheduled to hear a presentation at 4 p.m. from a cricket club. The Racine Board of Harbor Commissioners' 4 p.m. gathering, that includes the latest Lake Michigan level report. Also a request about dock improvements for a youth sailing program near the Racine Yacht Club. Sturtevant's Community Development Authority scheduled to talk at 6 o'clock tonight about obtaining a state trust fund loan for projects in Tax Incremental District No. 4. And the Kenosha County Board's Finance and Administrative Committee to discuss the 2018 County Budget Advisory Levy. Trader Joe's recalling 8 and 10-ounce packages of grain-free granola because there's an ingredient used in the products that might be contaminated with listeria. The packages of Trader Joe's grainless granola have best buy dates of March the 28th to April 10th, 2018. Also recalled, various packages of Wild Way grain-free apple cinnamon, banana nut, vanilla bean espresso, and coconut cashew granola. No reports of any illnesses so far, but it can take more than 2 months for symptoms of listeria infection to develop. Customers can return the granola to the store of purchase for a full refund. And Navy Quartermaster Second Class Jackie Goods, a native of Kenosha, serves as Master Helmsman aboard the amphibious transport dock ship USS San Diego. It's underway conducting part of the third and final phase of qualifications for their upcoming deployment, all part of the America Amphibious Ready Group. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.